And Monica Floyd, I hope you're micro.
Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening.
Hi. This is more of a micro call, I hope. It deals with a macro subject, anti-Semitism, which has sort of reared its ugly head in my life recently.
Are you Jewish?
No, I'm not. I'm Christian.
Okay.
But a Christian friend of mine has made some anti-Semitic remarks about you after I sent him some material of your tapes and your ethical monotheism issue of the ultimate issues.
Uh-huh.
And it saddened me. I'm very sad this week. I had a long distance call.
You're a Christian, and
yes.
A Christian friend of yours made some anti-Semitic comments, and were you surprised?
Yes.
Okay, this is important. Go ahead.
Okay, I had sent him some material. This person lives in New England and isn't familiar with you.
Okay.
And I sent him several tapes of your shows and your ethical monotheism issue and some of your other ultimate issue articles. And would hope that he would share the almost the joy I found in listening to you in the last 3.5 years. And,
right.
I feel like I've read your books and I've read Why the Jews, and I feel like you overcame some anti-Semitism in my life, some residual cultural anti-Semitism, something that might have emanated from my family, which is part Russian in background.
Uh-huh, very interesting. Go ahead.
But this person is a real New England WASP, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, and comes from a Mayflower-type family, and I was, and is Episcopalian in basic or Christian religious orientation, but I was surprised that he made some remarks that I'll repeat to you in just a second. He listened to your tapes and read your articles and all, and I was surprised he felt that there was that you had some secret agenda to sort of spread Judaism and conquer the world with it, and he almost said that there's no sense in Judeo-Christianity as a term. He says there's very little Judeo in Judeo-Christianity, and I was really saddened by this.
What I think on the basis of what you told me, I have two immediate reactions. One, I'll ask you before I make the comment.
Sure.
Does your friend wish to evangelize the world?
No, I don't think so.
He doesn't.
No.
So he does not have an agenda to bring the world to bring non-Christians to Christ.
Right.
Okay.
Right. He's sort of a lukewarm Christian. But
I got you. Okay. Then I was going to say that perhaps he was simply projecting onto me a religious value that he held.
Well, yeah.
So if that's not the case, it's not the case. I mean, it's pointless to refute it because you know how absurd that is.
Yes, I've listened to you for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I know exactly
right.
How old
so, okay.
you are about
so
your
I won't even.
All
right. So I'm not going to even bother with it. The other point is, let's see. One was the projecting, and the other was really just that it is a pointless issue. The Judeo-Christian.
Yeah.
There are extremists. It's very interesting. There are Jews who also object to the term Judeo-Christian for exactly the mirror image reason of your friend. They don't like having Christian saddled on to Judeo, just like your friend doesn't like Judeo saddled on to Christian. Those guys ought to meet each other. They are. I mean, it's really the there's a certain chauvinism, I think, in both cases. There is no question in my mind that there is a Judeo-Christian culture. We happen to live in one.
I agree with you.
And there, it is a perfectly legitimate term. It does not mean, by any stretch of the imagination, that Judaism and Christianity are the same religions.
Right.
It simply means that we happen to be living in a culture which is rooted in those two civilizations. And it is a perfectly legitimate and correct term. So it is interesting what has happened here, though, is sad. Really, my only reaction is sadness for you, because it's going to be difficult to maintain a close relationship with him.
Yes, it's very sad for me. This is a turning point in my life. This is a friend who I've known for over 20 years.
Yeah, it's a painful thing.
Have shared most intimate things in my life with, and called twice a week long distance for many years. And,
yeah, I understand. And do you know, unless, you know, somehow he just turns around, you will probably lose a close friend.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Right, and you're mourning, and you are in mourning, and I feel for you. That's the only thing I could say.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too,
yes,
Dennis.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's an interesting thing, by the way. I have had this not infrequently, that people will say that the moment values become a very important part of their lives, that there are, in fact, significant changes that take place in friendships. It is inevitable, my friends, that that will happen. It is a painful adjustment. But you see, most of us do not choose friends with values as a paramount issue. We choose friends based on who is fun to be with, in either the deepest or the shallowest sense of the word fun. But that is how most people choose their friends. Whom do they like to be with? Who is fun to go to the movies or have dinner with or just talk to or be around? Who makes them laugh? By the way, a lot of people marry, not just have friends on that basis, marry on that basis, ignoring the question of values. I wrote an article on this. It's called Why Friends Disappoint Us. And my thesis of it, by the way, I'll send it to you for 4 stamps. Don't send me an envelope, just send me 4 stamps. I'll send you my article, Why Friends Disappoint Us. And in the article I wrote, it was based, by the way, on a call that a woman made to me here at KABC years ago. A woman who was shocked to find out that a male friend of hers had tried to rape a girlfriend of hers. And I asked her, I said, did you know anything about his values? And she said, no. So I said, then how, you know, then I still understand why you'd be shocked, obviously. But that's the first thing you need to know. People don't tune in. Is the person kind? Is the person honest? Is the person straight? Straight in the way we deal with one another? Is the person open? Is the person non-deceitful? Does the person say hurtful things to people? How does the person treat people beneath him or her in life, in the social station, as they would say in England? These are the questions that are as important as do you enjoy being with the person? And so many people don't ask this, that they get hurt. And so what happens is a lot of people who start taking what I say seriously, that you know that good and evil are the things that matter most, kindness and non-kindness, or decency and indecency, are what matter, that the world is divided not between races, not between genders, not between religions, but between the decent and the indecent. When that really becomes strong in your life, you end up with some different friends. All of a sudden, the person whom you found enjoyable for movie going, or even for a lot more than that, turns out to be not so terrific. And so this call really afforded me that opportunity to tell you that when goodness becomes a big deal in your life, that some people fade out of your life. It really does happen. But it is certainly better to happen earlier than later, after you get hurt by the people who are not particularly fine.